Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Lawrence.
Lawrence!
Yeah. The reason I'm Lawrence this time is because we did this last week, and Steve said I was white noise, which is probably no different than every other week. I don't know how that makes any difference at all.
No.
We had a whole week to prepare and did absolutely nothing more, so... We've actually lost ground since last week.
No, it's that we had it so wonderfully prepared, we didn't need to do any more work whatsoever.
and you'll find that out in a moment.
So, my friend, we are talking about Zechariah 1.
Yeah, and Zechariah, he fits very nicely because we just did, remember we did Ezra and Nehemiah, and then we did that lady, Esther. Then we did Esther. Yeah. And they are all in the same time period, right? They're all in a very similar time period. And we had said even Daniel kind of fit that time period. Yeah. Well, Haggai and then also Zechariah is a prophet from when they returned from exile. He's called a post-exilic prophet. And so he fits the time period as well, which is really quite nice.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why we decided, well, we didn't decide to do it for that reason. He was just the next prophet in the list of prophets to do. It fit really nice. Yeah, fit really nice.
Yeah, he's in our series of minor prophets of the Old Testament.
Yeah, those who believe God does everything would say, maybe God planned that for an altar.
That's right. Okay. Verse 1, in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo.
Oh, Iddo. Yes, and we were saying, it's not the son of Iddo, but they were at the Iddo restaurant.
They were ordering number 5 off the menu.
Yes. I want that now.
What was I doing? Okay, verse 2. The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says God Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors, whom the earlier prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. No shock there. Where are your ancestors now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded to my servants, the prophets, overtake your ancestors?
Yeah, and we were saying that he you ever hear those guys who pray and they go, oh, Lord, and then they say, oh, Lord. Well, they actually have biblical precedent for that here.
Yeah.
They keep saying, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty.
So then it finishes off and it says, then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do.
Yeah. And so this is kind of nice. He reminded them how unfaithful they've been over the years, right? Mm. Over and over again. And they've now they've repented one more time. And just like back in the book of Judges, you know, they fall into slumber, they fall into sin, God judges them, then they repent and God brings them back. Right. And this time again they repented and God's bringing them back, and they're going to go back to Jerusalem, right? Bringing them back.
Yeah, isn't it so true? If we don't get the vision of God being a merciful God from the Old Testament record alone, we'd really have missed the plot there, haven't we?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. And now he's going to go into a series of dreams right from verse 7 of chapter 1 all the way up through chapter 6. Mm. He has all of these different dreams. And one of the guys that guy from the Bible Project says, and they're very much like dreams because they're kind of crazy, you know, some of these things that he says. But that's okay too. That's okay. The dreams are going to bring out what he wants to say about God. The first dream actually reminds me a little bit like Revelation, and so does the second.
Okay.
Now, usually authors of Revelation or scholars don't point to Zechariah very often, but it's similar language, right? Yeah.
Right. Well, and when you have a scholar of apocalyptic writings, you know, you note these things. That's what I'm saying. So.
Thank you, my friend.
No, of course we have to go there. You're a man of many, many talents and powers. So, verse 7, on the 24th day of the 11th month of the month of Shebat, great one, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord
came to me. Which is what the 60s singers used to sing about the month of Shebat. Yeah, forget it.
I had to call it Shebat because I just wanted to. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah. Son of Berechiah, son of Iddo. During the night I had a vision, and there before me was a man mounted on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. I asked, "What are these, Lord?" The angel who was talking with me answered, "I will show you what they are." Then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, "They are the ones the Lord has sent to go through the earth, go throughout the earth."
Yeah. And so we did say, so the four horses, kind of an interesting thing that different authors pick up on these four horses, mm-hmm. you know, and they go out throughout the earth. So I guess, you know, north, south, east, and west. So right. you go to the four corners of the earth, which the flat earth people would love that we say. but these horses aren't the same colors. These are different colored horses than mm-hmm. the others, which is kind of interesting as well.
I don't know why, but all I can hear is the song Karma Chameleon by the... I'll get back on track here. Sorry, folks. Verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord said, "Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years?" So the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. Then the angel who was speaking to me said, "Proclaim this word that the Lord Almighty says, I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they went too far with the punishment."
Yeah, so these are the nations that punished Jerusalem, remember? Mm-hmm. The pre-exilic prophet said, Habakkuk especially, you know, Israel is being bad. They're mistreating, you know, and what are you going to do about it? And God said, "I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans," which are the Babylonians.
Right.
And Habakkuk goes, "Are you what?"
No, I didn't mean that. I meant I did not
mean that. He goes like, "They're way worse than us." And he says, "Yeah, I know." And they're going to, but here he says, "I allowed them to judge, but they went way too far." Which is interesting, isn't it? That that God, these are totally ungodly people, in the sense of our God, mm-hmm. And he still had these things that he expected of them, and yes. they went way beyond it.
Yeah,
and they lost their nations for it.
Yeah.
So,
it's interesting. He's speaking to the angel about this too, right? Like the angel over the nation of Israel. That kind of concept is at least there, just like it was in Daniel.
Well, very much, and Revelation had angels over the seven churches. Mm-hmm. But I like your Daniel one, because Daniel's so cool. The angel's coming to talk to Daniel. It's Michael, isn't it? Isn't it Michael coming to talk to him?
I don't remember this. Was he specified?
Or did he say, "I had to get Michael to help me"? So he gets to Daniel, and he says, the prince over Persia stopped me. So this angel over Persia stopped me, and I had to fight him. I was coming right away, but I got held up for 21 days with this other angel was fighting me. Yeah. Used to be a series of books by a guy named Frank Peretti, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Piercing the Darkness and things. And the angelology in Frank's in his fiction sounds very much like that, and like this, that there's these angels in charge of things. Now, Pentecostals have always kind of believed that angels are real and that they are in charge of different things. Mm-hmm. Other churches struggle with that. And they'll usually say the word angel in the Greek, angel, angelos, is messenger. So they'll say, well, it could just be a pastor. It could be something else. But we Pentecostals, we're okay with our angels.
We're okay with that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So where am I here? Oh, verse 16, right?
Yeah.
"Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem with mercy. There my house will be rebuilt. And a measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord again will comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem."
Yeah, and anybody who doesn't know Zion, Lynn was asking me about that the other night. You know, we're marching onward to Zion. Mm-hmm. Zion was the hill right near Jerusalem. It was sometimes it's used for that hill near Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's used for all of Jerusalem when they say Zion.
Okay.
And sometimes it's used for a portion of Jerusalem. And sometimes when they say we're marching to the city of God, it could even mean heaven in that sense there. But generally, it means Jerusalem and the area around Jerusalem.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, thanks. Okay. Verse 18. Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns.
Oh, I forgot to say something about that.
Okay. Yes.
The measuring line, when they measure things, it's sort of an idea of protection, or there's something legitimate there that you can measure. Mm. In the book of Revelation, remember, he has a measuring line. And when he starts measuring, it sounds like you're going to actually, there's something there for you that's measurable. And so it's an idea of protection and things like that as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's an important point. Thanks for doing that. Verse 18. Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these?" He answered me, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I asked, "What are these coming to do?" He answered, "These are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise their head, but the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people."
Yeah, and I should have read a little more on this, onto the actual nations that they thought, if they tied them to specific nations, or if you did, then it would probably be Egypt and Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Persia, right? Hmm. It could go that direction. You know, it could be other things as well. But the idea of these horns is they came up and they messed up Jerusalem and scattered them. Mm. Yeah. And it fits well. And most people would say, yeah, to Babylon anyway, in Assyria for sure.
Right.
And Egypt kind of fits nicely too, but they could be pointing at other things as well. But now the craftsmen then come in and they're going to bring Judah back, right? Isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah. And they're terrifying the four horns. They're bringing, it's kind of a weird statement around craftsmen bringing terror.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly what he's pointing to, I don't know for sure. Because I don't think he's pointing to the Maccabean period. Mm-hmm. Usually it's other nations come in and destroy these guys. Like it's going to be the Greece is going to come in and then Rome's going to come in.
Right.
In the future. But exactly where he's going with this, I don't know. What he's saying for sure is that these guys harmed you, and now they are also going to be harmed. Mm. Yeah. But then God said, you know, at first I was just a little angry with them. I kind of like that. Eh? I was miffed. Yeah. I was a little miffed.
Yeah. I wasn't real happy, let's say.
Yeah.
And then they went too far, and now,
eh. Now I'm going to destroy them as well.
Yeah.
Which is always intriguing. It's always intriguing what God allows in them, what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. You always got to be careful because people will point fingers at God and say, you know, he's really crappy. And so if you're a person of faith, you're going, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing for sure. But
yeah. But like we said earlier, right? You see this time of disobeying God, obeying God, and being restored. Disobeying God, obeying God, being restored. So... interesting.
Yeah, and God's always so patient with them and with us, and with us too.
Well,
that's chapter one, and that's all I had for today, Stephen.
That's fantastic, my friend. Very much enjoyed hearing your insights on that, especially tying that back to other images that our audience would be familiar from Revelation, and even things that would be familiar to the folks that received this prophecy back then. They would have kind of clued in on all the things that God was doing here. Folks, as always, we love doing this for you, and we take great, it's a great honor that you listen to us week in and week out. So thank you so much for that. We'll be back in a week's time with Zechariah 2. I know, it's a shocker. Wait for the rest of the cliffhanger. It's coming. But yeah, we'll be back with Zechariah 2 in a week's time. Until then, I was Steve. He was Larry. This